What is up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Combos Court. You know the vibes. Don't forget to rate, review, and punch down on that subscribe button. Shouts to our sponsor, Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. For a first deposit match up to $100, use code COMBO. That's right, use code COMBO for a first deposit match up to $100. That's right. Put in $100, Prize Picks will match you $100 with code COMBO. It's also a great way to support Combos Court. I'll leave a link in the show notes for that. Today's show, Sam S. Fandiari of the Light Years podcast joins in to talk Brunson's NBA development, Warriors basketball, and more. Let's get into it. Sam S. Fandiari, my favorite person to talk Warriors basketball with. How are things, man?
Yeah, going well. We're kind of at that point in the season, right? Getting towards the end, kind of clear who every team is, ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, everybody watching this video, punch down on that subscribe button to the NBA report. If you're listening to this, subscribe to Combos Court. Subscribe to the Light Years podcast as well. Sam, you know, we're going to get to your Warriors, but, you know, you played the Knicks not too long ago, a few nights back. It was the McBride game. It was. But, you know, you've been watching Brunson play for a long time now. You love the draft stuff. You talk draft. You've seen him play in the WAT with the Mavs in the Western Conference. So many teams passed on Brunson. What have you seen when it comes to his development since the draft, since Villanova, through the Mavericks, and now with the Knicks?
One, exceeded every expectation I could have. I thought he was a little slept on as a prospect. Like, yeah, it's just classic. It's like, okay, he's not the biggest guy. He's not the fastest guy. And he's an older college player, like the classic recipe to fall in the draft because, you know, upside and all that sort of thing. So I thought he'd be good. With that said, I did not think franchise player good. He's clearly franchise player caliber. When I watch Brunson, the two things that stand out to me is like skill development just never stopped. Like he went from being a good mid-range shooter to like knockdown three-point shooter basically at will, as good as anyone not named Steph Curry these days. And then secondarily, it's like I still don't think we put enough emphasis on feel. Guys who just have elite feel for the game, like if they have elite feel and they want it, they're going to figure out a way to eventually impact the game. And I think, and maybe this alludes a little bit to like what I've enjoyed watching about Brandon Pajemski this year and just kind of like some of the Warrior misses over the years. Like it's very easy to fall in love with physical tools and they obviously do matter, but probably should put a little more emphasis on guys just overall feel, IQ, and love of the game.
Do you feel like he would find himself to be the best version of himself? Because all the Mavs fans are like, oh, you know, how we let Brunson go. And it seemed like, you know, like it wasn't good in hindsight, but do you think he ever develops into this player playing alongside Luka?
He's not putting up these numbers next to Luka, but what's Kyrie averaging right
That's
now?
That's true. You know? That's fair. Yeah.
I don't see any reason he couldn't, you know, Kyrie's averaging 25, 5, and 5. I see no reason why Brunson wouldn't do something similar. It probably wouldn't pop as much to everyone because everyone would be like, well, it's Luka's team. Luka's clearly the man there and that sort of thing. Whereas in New York, you know, Brunson runs everything. But why wouldn't he develop? Why wouldn't he be an all-star caliber player in Dallas?
Yeah, I don't want to say too much on the draft, but you mentioned the field thing. That's why I like there's some Reed Shepard buzz at one. That's kind of why I like Topic better. Like that feel for the game, that feel for the game seems elite.
I haven't watched enough of Topic, like just full transparency. I haven't watched enough of the international guys in general at this point. I'll be digging into that probably between now and the draft. Actually, honestly, after the tournaments when I start really getting into it.
Right.
But the little bit I have seen looks pretty intriguing for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to shift to the Warriors now. Now, this might not be the topic you thought I'd start with, but what is going on with Wiggins? Like he disappears, he comes right back. Like, do you have any insight to what's going on?
I mean, that's the number one topic. Well, that's one of the top topics we we talk about in general, because like it, let's just take a big picture look at the Warriors. Steph's 36. There are nights he looks 36. Like the Knicks game's a classic example. Ironically, I think he still finished with 30 just because he can, but he did look old. They definitely use their youth and athleticism against him. Draymond, same thing. Clay, same thing. And then on the other side, as much as I love Kuminga and Pajemski, they look 21 a lot of nights as well. Wiggins was always supposed to be, he's halfway in between those guys age-wise. He just turned 29. He should be the most consistent contributor on this team, right? He should be. I'm not talking about scoring 30. I'm just talking about energy level, focus, impacting the game. He should be the most consistent guy. He's in his prime. And it's been 2 years of basically what I would consider Minnesota Wiggins, right? Yeah. It's not that he's terrible.
Worse. I think he's worse.
Yeah, because he's, well, I don't know if he's worse, to be honest.
He seemed a little more aggressive with Minnesota than he has been in spurts this year with the Warriors, right?
Definitely. I mean, the early part of the season, he just had no faith in his jump shot, period. Mm-hmm. He started the season shooting like 20% from three, and they just stopped taking them, which is like the worst thing you could do, right? Like, right. It was obvious. He's still, now he's hitting them, but he's still not taking them. Like, he's taking two a game, which is, no one's going to guard you if they're worried you're just going to hit 1-3 a game, right? Mm-hmm. He obviously has some off-court stuff going on. I don't know how much that's seeping into it, but you could see it with the coaching. Like, Steve Kerr doesn't close with him most nights. There's a lot of, let's see if he's there tonight. And if he's not, I'm going to play the next guy. And I don't care if we're too small. Like, I just need guys who bring energy at a certain point. It's really frustrating, because whether he's better or worse than he was in Minnesota, it's the same overall, like, mentality and kind of the way people talked about in Minnesota. You're like, oh, this guy has all this talent, all these gifts, but too often than not, he floats with the game.
You know, I've never been the gossip podcast, but do you have any idea what's going on? Like, he's just in and out. He's all over the place.
I don't know. It's yeah. I prefer not to go down that path either, but it is atypical. Like, the only thing I like to bring up about it is, like, he's not the only person in the NBA who has personal issues. Mm-hmm. A lot of players are balancing a lot of things. You are paid a lot of money for a specific reason. Like, this isn't a 9-to-5 you clock in at. You're kind of paid on performance a little bit. So it is frustrating, but no one really knows how to talk about it, because if he won't let you know what's going on publicly, who am I to say what it is? All I know is, when I watch him on the court, he's inconsistent, and they're kind of banking on him to be a more consistent contributor. And if he can't be that, I mean, they probably have to look to move on at some point.
Yeah. And you never really know what's going on when the internet blows stuff up and all that kind of crazy stuff. So it is what it is. Clay off the bench, what have you made of it?
I love it. That was it. I don't know if it was 2 months, but like for most of the season, it was really sad to watch Clay. Like, it's like watching a punch drunk boxer, where you're just like, man, stop trying to chase, like, you know, stop trying to chase game six Clay, trying to be like that guy you used to be. You know, he would take ridiculous shots, the type of shots he would make in 2018. But like, you know, you're a little slower now. Contest gets there faster. It looks really bad those days. It seems like since he's gone to the bench, more than anything, he's just like, let it go. He's like playing calmer, a little more relaxed. There's a little less pressure.
I noticed that first half versus the Lakers, he was playing with like some swag, like floaters, like it just looked effortless. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure part of it is he comes in, he's going against, other teams' backups, so he can get himself into a rhythm a little quicker. I think the biggest thing, that whether he starts or comes off the bench, he's playing more like 25 to 28 minutes a game instead of 35 minutes.
Oh, okay.
That's noticeable with his legs, because he obviously could still shoot the ball. He's never going to lose the shooting touch. What goes is the legs. Like, he would, when it was really bad when he was starting, you'd see him drifting all the time on shots. And whether it was conscious or subconscious, in fact, I'm going to take a wild guess and say it's subconscious, because the guy's form is pretty textbook. He was. And you see a lot less of that now. He just looks fresher. It looks like a role that's going to suit him for the next few years, which, like, they like to say it's like Miami Heat Ray Allen type of role.
Let's talk about Steph, because, you know, you say he does look old some nights. And when I think of LeBron, it's like he's not in his prime anymore, but it's more because the defense isn't there. Like on any given night, he could look like the best player in the world on offense. With Steph, it feels like the defense got better over the years, right? Like he got stronger. Like, is he still in his prime?
I think he's still in his prime in the same way you're describing LeBron. He can, and on any given night, he can be the best player on the floor with anyone on the floor. I think what's noticeable is 82 games is a grind, and there are nights where you can see him conserving energy to pick his spots. The Knicks game was a prime example. He didn't score in the first quarter. There's been a lot of games where all he does in the first quarter is try to get Wiggins and Kuminga going so he can conserve some energy so he can close a game. The strategy makes total sense because he can get to a shot whenever he wants to. But it's different than when he was younger, when you don't have to think about conserving energy, when you can play 40 minutes hard because you're 28, you're not 36, that sort of thing. And that's where it's kind of frustrating watching him with a team where, you know, you mentioned LeBron, he doesn't have an Anthony Davis to rely on. He doesn't have a younger co-star. Kuminga's taken a big leap this year, but he's 21 and he's not Anthony Davis, you know? So that's been kind of the thing where I'm like, if they can find a way to get an impact player or Kuminga can take a big leap, I see no reason why Steph can't continue staying at this level, but there is just the natural maintenance of his minutes that has to go on. You know, 36, next year he'll be 37, keep going on. It is a lot like LeBron. Like LeBron, the biggest thing you see with him is there's certain nights where he just, you know, you can see he's trying to conserve as much energy as possible so he has legs.
How would you grade Kerr's season so far?
It's tough because I think the early part of the season was incredibly frustrating where he would not play younger players and they lost. I mean, the in-season tournament game against the Kings comes to mind where they gave away an 18-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Right.
And Moses Moody was red hot and he pulls him off for Chris Paul, Klay Thompson, and like just, you know, the veteran lineup, right? And what happens? They look as old as they look on paper and, you know, De'Aaron Fox goes off and they lose. So that sort of stuff really frustrated me. But at the same time, Kerr, I understand why he did it. Like, you can't really bench guys who are that accomplished, like on a November 28th game. You kind of have to lose a little bit to get them to buy into, like, guys, we got to play some of the younger guys more. So if you think about it from a full season pacing, I think he probably played it well. It's not like he had a huge locker room bust up. You could see a world where he like benches someone like Chris Paul or Klay Thompson really abruptly, leading to those guys being like, what are you doing? Like, I'm a Hall of Famer. I know what I'm doing on that front. So I guess I'd give him a B, honestly. It's kind of where I'm at with it.
A little bit of coddling or?
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky. You tell me, what do you think? Like, you're dealing with guys who have big egos. Trying to get them to understand that they're not who they used to be doesn't happen overnight. 100%. Everyone could say it should have happened faster.
Like 100%.
Watching them lose those games in November against OKC, Minnesota, and Sacramento, you know, three textbook cases of younger, faster, more athletic. Like he might tell you they needed to feel that to understand that they're not those guys anymore.
Yeah, I guess the only question for me is like, should he have made some of those adjustments a little bit early? Like leaning into Kuminga more, like bringing Klay off the bench a little bit earlier. It feels a little bit late. Is it too late? Like, what is this team ceiling at this point?
I mean, that's why I gave him a B, because I think he did the right thing. But in my mind, I'm like, he couldn't have got here 15 games earlier, because now there's only 15 games left for the Warriors. And like, I mean, they're not going to get out of the play-in. That's not happening in terms like just from, so they're going to have to go into the play-in. Obviously single game with Steph Curry, you could go, you know, you can win that. Right. Like, but it's going to be, what is this team ceiling? The best case scenario for this team is they get out of the play-in, which will be a tough task alone, given who they're going to have to go through. Right. They're probably going to be in the 9-10. So they're probably gonna have to play the Lakers, and then they're probably gonna have to play the Suns or the Mavericks. So you're just talking about like winning those two back to back alone is a tough feat.
Yep.
And then I don't know. I mean, I do think that given that they're veteran and given that they have Steph, and they could scare an OKC or a Minnesota who hasn't been there, even though those teams should be favored in a matchup. I guess that's their ceiling. They have no shot at going deeper than that, in my opinion. You know, they could, I think they could win a round in the playoffs, and then we'd consider that a success.
Sam, you got to hear my idea. If the
Yeah.
Warriors and the Lakers play in the play-in, they got to move the venue, bring it to like a big football arena, bring it like 90,000, 100,000. You think LeBron and Steph could sell that out at this point?
I think so. Let's get an Allegiant where they had the Super Bowl in Vegas. You can make
Yeah.
a whole week. We can make a weekend out of it. It'd be like a prize fight. Everyone would go watch it. You know, I fly down to Vegas for that. Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, they got to stretch it out because one of those guys won't be in a 7-game series, right?
Exactly. Honestly, the worst part is both of the one of them will win that matchup, and the other one would still probably not make a
Yeah,
best of seven series, right? Because
exactly.
I'd still like if they got stuck playing Dallas, I would probably favor Dallas against both teams in a single
Right,
elimination.
right,
So.
right. Okay, I mean, they've done it before. Like, we saw the Steph big arena game, right? We saw the Jordan. I think they did something in Atlanta years ago where they could do that. I think it's a good idea. All right, last thing before we get to rapid fire, which has been a big hit on Combo's court. But
Love
before
it.
that, Pistons IT went on the Draymond pod saying
Okay.
KD save the dynasty. What are your thoughts?
I see four rings in Golden State and only two on KD's fingers. That's what I
Well,
that's my response.
how many does the Warriors get without him?
I say one. I say they get I say So if we really want to reconstruct that, it's like, okay, they bring back Harrison Barnes. They never trade Bogut. They just have a different team. Do they go back to back without Kevin Durant? Probably not. Like, they had some injury issues that KD like helps you get through. One of those seasons, Steph missed half the year injured. Nice to have Kevin Durant when you don't have Steph Curry, right? So I don't know, but like the way I look at it is, I just don't listen to those arguments after 2022. Seeing Steph win the finals, seeing the Warriors win in Boston, I think it put all those narratives to bed. That's the way I look at it. Do I think they have four without Kevin Durant? Probably not. That's very unrealistic. But they won one after he left. And honestly, they won one with a post-Achilles Klay Thompson, with Andrew Wiggins as their second best player, with Jordan Poole contributing. Draymond had a bad back. I mean, he was in and out of the lineup in the fight. It wasn't exactly the 2015 Warriors that won that title 2 years ago. That was so I don't think we can count out the fact that those guys in their prime wouldn't have won at least one of the two that they won with KD.
It was interesting though. He said it right to his face. You got to respect it. He said it right to Dre's face.
Draymond too nice. He grew he's I mean he grew up in Michigan. He knows
That's what it was.
he can't. He's like, these are like his all-time legends he's talking to. It probably hurt him inside, though.
All right. Here's my unpopular opinion. You might not agree with me, Sam. I believe that KD was the best player, Steph was the face, and Draymond was the engine.
Okay.
Is that fair?
I mean, I agree Draymond was the engine. I don't know if KD was the best player.
Really?
I really don't. It's I don't know, man. Why like I'm gonna go to bat for Steph on that one. I honestly am. Like go through those playoff series, go look who was getting doubled and who wasn't. That was the easiest 30 points KD was ever gonna score in his life. With that said, I don't have a problem with you saying he was the best player. I just think it's like hand in hand with those two. And I do agree with you, Draymond's the engine of the team. And you all Draymond's the epitome of watch them play without him and you understand how valuable he is.
Yeah, which leads us to our rapid fire. We'll start with Draymond. Draymond, fact or fiction? Draymond Green is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Fact.
Ooh.
Look at players who made the Hall of Fame. It's not the highest bar. Four-time champion, defensive player of the year, iconic player for his team. Yeah, he can't score the ball, but he's first ballot Hall of Famer.
Draymond or Rodman all time?
Draymond.
Better chance for a deep playoff push, Lakers or the Golden State Warriors?
This one hurts my soul, but I'm going to say the Lakers.
Fact or fiction, Steph wins another title.
I'm gonna say fact.
Really?
You want me to make my case?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. This doesn't have to be so rapid, even though it's rapid fire.
Okay. This offseason, they actually have a bunch of flexibility to make moves. They have Chris Paul's contract coming up, Klay's contract coming up. Wiggins is tradable. They have all their picks. This will be the offseason that determines if they have another a shot to win one more with Steph in the next 3 years or it's over. Because in theory, they should be a major player for the next disgruntled superstar, and they actually have the quote-unquote assets to pull it off in a way that they did not the last 2 to 3 years. If you're telling me you're going to pair Steph with an all-star caliber player who's, let's just say under 32, say under 30, really, then you're talking about the LeBron AD setup. And I think that's realistic. If you're saying Steph wins another one with his best teammate being Klay Thompson, I'm saying that's never happening again.
Yeah. And with this Wiggins, I mean, it gets tougher. Yeah.
Yeah. So I might have a different answer for you in July. I'll put it that way. If they do nothing of substance this offseason, then I'm going to say it's over. But I think this is their last shot to add an impact player during the rest of Steph's like good years, which I'll say is maybe 2 more years.
Name a better athlete in sports than Anthony Edwards.
Jonathan Kuminga.
Wow. Okay.
Just
okay.
Pure athleticism.
Really?
I'm not talking about, because when you factor in the skill level, it's obviously Anthony Edwards.
Oh yeah. Did you see that? Did you see that dunk?
Yes. Yes. That was.
And I've seen Kuminga is, because in person it actually pops even more with Kuminga. Yeah. Like that's summer league. The way he jumps is crazy. But I don't know. I don't know. That's tough.
They would be my top two best athletes in the NBA right now. Just like period. I'm probably forgetting someone as I say this, but like just two guys who like,
you know, who's underrated. Who's like in that, who I think no matter what sports he plays becomes a pro athlete. Aaron Gordon. He's a ridiculous athlete.
Yes. Yes.
He's a ridiculous athlete. And I'm not just talking about jumping. I'm talking about like every facet, like strength, speed, slide, like ridiculous.
I could see him being a tight end or a D end. In the NFL. Like
easily. Shaq or Duncan?
Shaq.
Manu or Harden?
Manu.
Woo!
More sorry. Sorry. I've seen James Harden in too many big games against the Warriors. That's a personal bias coming out.
Okay. More skilled, Kobe or Kyrie? Skill. No.
Kyrie. I think doing it 4 inches shorter and shooting the ball a little better is a differentiator there.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I mean, you know, more skill doesn't necessarily mean better. Doesn't mean better player. Who wins March Madness?
Oh. I still haven't finished my bracket, so I'm gonna go. I really want to say Kentucky. I really do. I don't think they will, but I'm on the Reed Shepherd bandwagon these days. So they're definitely not the, I'll just be boring. I'll go UConn. Sorry.
Best chance to win the West, not name the Denver Nuggets.
Ooh, good question. Because I would say Denver is like overwhelming for me.
100%.
I'm going to go Dallas.
Wow.
I'm going to go. I don't believe in the Clippers. I don't believe the Clippers can stay healthy for 2 months. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. They would probably be my number two on paper in general. I kind of like the way Dallas is coming together. I think Luka.
Gafford, they got some good fits there with like Gafford. Yeah,
they got
and
the
Lively.
Right.
He's been great. Yep.
Perfect role players at the deadline. Kyrie looks incredibly healthy. Obviously, everyone saw the game winner, but this is kind of the best stretch of basketball I've seen Kyrie play for a couple of years.
Right.
And then Luka's, I mean, he's not going to win MVP, but he probably should. Like, he's playing like the MVP of the league. They'll be a scary team in the playoffs. I think they're scarier. I'm going to bet against OKC and Minnesota. I'm going to bet that 1 year too young still.
Denver or the field?
Denver. I'm taking.
Wow.
We're counting the East, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Denver, the whole field.
Okay. I really think they're going to repeat. I think the only thing that's stopping them is health. Yeah. I can't, like, I know Boston's metrics are historic, whatever. Denver in 5 to 6 in that series.
Higher peak, Jokic or Bird?
Well, Jokic hasn't finished his peak, right?
Exactly. Jokic now or Bird peak? I'm going Bird peak. The only reason I asked is because I had Corey,
Sure.
No Ceilings, and he kind of like mentioned Jokic when I was talking about Bird's peak. I'm like thinking like, wow, are we there? Wow.
I mean, isn't he just kind of like 4 inch taller, Larry Bird? Like, that's kind of what he is,
I
right?
mean, not as fast, even though people call Bird slow.
True.
You
Yeah.
know, Bird was a better outside shooter, even though you didn't shoot as much of them back then. Bird, I mean, the passing is underrated, even though Jokic could be one of the
Sure.
greatest pass. Like, Bird was like, his 3 years were ridiculous. His three in a row
Yeah.
MVP years, just any could, you know, yeah, he could do it all.
I'm gonna go with Jokic. I'm gonna side with the young guy. Sorry.
Okay.
But that's a tough one because, if last year was Jokic's peak and they don't win this year and it's just kind of he's still really good, then it looks like a dumb take. I'm betting on him playing at this level for another 2 to 3 years.
Last two, Pippen or D Wade?
Pippen. Close though. Very. Just because I think he held his peak a little longer than D Wade. That's gonna be the differentiator. Actually, I'd argue Wade's peak was better than Pippen's peak.
I have Pippen as well. I'd say the argument for D Wade is he was the best player on a championship team.
Exactly. Like he has that, Pippen does not, but overall, Pippen's like 6 to 8 years. Yeah, no, honestly, a decade. Just incredibly consistent.
And he showed a lot that year that Mike wasn't there. Like they were a really good team, you know. He
And
was a
healthy. That's like that. I hate holding against Wade, but like from 30 on, he was just always banged up.
Best Warriors podcast.
Layers, come
There you go. There you go. Where can we
on.
find it? Where can we find it, Sam?
Anywhere you listen to pods, Apple, Spotify, we post the video pod on YouTube. And of course, you can join us live after every game on playback. We do the podcast live on playback, post it on the feed shortly thereafter.
Subscribe to Lightyear. Subscribe to the NBA Report channel right here. Give us a like. Sam, thank you so much for taking the time. You know you're always welcome back on the show. And when the Warriors are in the finals, you come back on, all right? Or
All
maybe.
right, so it sounds like it'll be a couple seasons till I'm back. Gotcha. Now,
Nah, I'll see you soon, Sam. Great stuff.
later, man. Talk to you later.
Later.